Hey everybody, welcome back to the Hofcast. This is episode 10 it's going to be posted Thursday, May 17th. How are you guys? I hope everybody is having a fantastic mid-May. We're already more than halfway through May. I can't believe that. Summer's going to be here before you know it, and that means Hof's going back on the road. Very excited. 2 more weeks here in town, spending time with the family. Little baby girl, little May Rose joined us last week, so been enjoying spending time with her, and Sarah's mom's been in town, which is which is nice to have a little bit of family help, and also crazy to see two women like competing for the same space and the same projects. No, you fold like this. No, you got to do this. No, that doesn't go there. This goes here. And I'm just kind of, I'm staying out of it. This is a mother-daughter deal. I'm just like, I will do whatever you tell me to do. I'll be over here. And then I had to cancel some stand-up gigs, but got back into it this week. And I've got some more shows. I'm in Santa Clarita this Saturday, the 19th. I don't know the name of the venue, but if you hit me up on Facebook, I should be finding out that information soon. And then Tuesday, I'm at the Starting Gate in Los Alamitos, and that's a great show. A comedian named Cochino runs those, and it's a fantastic venue. Always packed, so if you're going to that one, get there early. I think it starts at 9, but I would recommend getting there about 8:30, getting yourself a drink. It's going to be a fantastic show. That's what I got going on in town this week, aside from a couple just local, real quick shows where I'm working on new material. Guys, the only update I have other than bringing new life into the world is I am in a comedy basketball league. I took a shot to the ribs and I am feeling it. That's one of those injuries that, like, you know, in your teens, in your 20s, you take a shot to the ribs, you're like, ah, okay, you shake it off, and you're fine. This, I've been battling now, and I woke up this morning, I must have slept on it wrong, because I woke up this morning and just, oh, and anytime I sneeze, it's deadly. Like, I'll sit there, I was driving the other day, and I sneezed, and I thought my lungs were going to pop out of my ribs, and I was just, but the, unfortunately, like, even, I don't think it's a broken rib. It may be like a, I don't know if you can dislocate a rib or like crack a rib, but I know there's nothing they do for you. Like if I go to the hospital, there's nothing. They just go, well, that's just one of those things. You got to live with it. So, you know, take ibuprofen and maybe use some heat. And then you say, here's $700. Thanks for your expert advice. I'll go home. So I just got to take it easy, but it's hard. You guys, it's really hard to get sympathy in a house where one lady here is an ER nurse and she sees gunshot victims and the worst of the worst, and the other one just had a C-section. It's really hard to get any sympathy when those are the two people that you're like asking about. And to be quite honest, my rib kills. It kills. But I'm not allowed to say anything. If I even wince, they're like, nope, we know, we get it. Oh, do you need something? Do you want me to rub your back? I just had a C-section. That's all I get. So I'm not even allowed to make a painful face in my own house. So that's what I'm living with. That's why that's why the podcast is just a little bit late here. Sorry about that, you guys. Lots of things happening over here at the Hof House. But I've got a guest on this week. I think you guys are going to love it. He's a filmmaker. I've known him for years and years and years. I hope you guys enjoy it. But give me some feedback. Let me know, are you liking certain things about the podcast? Certain things you hate? Like, is there something I'm doing and you're like, oh, screw this, and you just turn it off? Like, I've listened to podcasts like that. Even ones that I enjoy. Just occasional episodes where they just go off on something. You're just like, nope, not having it. So just move on. Give me some feedback. Let me know what you guys are thinking. I appreciate you listening. Keep spreading the word. And we got some great guests. We got a great guest this week, and we got great guests coming up, and lots of big things happening. So enjoy my conversation right now with Eric Smith, you guys. All right, in the studio, if that's what we're going to call it, here is Eric Smith. Eric is a filmmaker here in Los Angeles, and I have known him, you know, what? I've known you for...
You were in second grade. I was in first.
Second grade, so I would have been 8 years old, and so that was only like 12 years ago. Is that correct?
Math's good there.
That math is sound. Do not do that math yourself at home. That's exactly right. We are both. I'm 20 years old. Eric's 18, and we're living in Los Angeles, a couple miles from each other. Eric, tell everybody what you do. Banana Man Films. Tell them all about it.
So I have a small freelance film company, I guess you could call it. I make promotional informational website videos for small, medium companies and nonprofits. So if you go to their website, there's a simple little 3-4 minute video about what they do, how they're helping people, how they're impacting the world. But then I also do a lot of corporate talking head conferences, pays the bills.
You do a lot of cool things. You're kind of being modest here.
I think I show off the cool things. I don't show the not cool things.
Well, that's all anybody does, right?
Isn't that
all we do? Like, why would you show us the boring crap? Why
the
people that post on Facebook like, hey, just rolled over in bed. Like, those are the people that you're like, okay, I'm going to mute you here until something interesting happens. But, you know, I don't need pictures of your food, but you know, give me the good stuff and I'll follow that. You've got plenty of that. You're out there with, like, I've seen you do some, like, stuff on motorcycles, right?
Yep. So a friend of mine has a blog called Bike Curious.
I get it.
B-I-K-E-U-R-I-O-U-S. And he just started it because he loves motorcycles, but then Jay Leno came across it, and they're, like, from the same hometown in, I forget where. But anyway, so he's got a lot of viewers, a lot of readers.
With from the same hometown. Why is that no Mike Tyson? Why am I doing Mike Tyson instead of Jay Leno? Are they the same?
They are definitely not. Anyway, so he gets motorcycles and stuff just given to him, like, review this for 3 weeks, and so we'll go out and shoot videos with it, like, taking it out to the dirt. How does it work in the city? Try to make it cool. Hang out the back of trucks, filming with a camera rig. That stuff's real fun.
It's ridiculous. Anytime you post those types of pictures, and for a while there, you were doing some really interesting things with light. You were out, like, on the beach, and there'd be this effect of, like, almost lightning, but it was all done with lighting.
It was light painting, and it was all in camera, one single photo, but the camera just stays open and keeps absorbing light for up to 5 minutes, and allows you to run around in the dark with different lights from burning steel wool that puts off these really cool sparks, or LED wire, or flashlights and spotlights, all sorts of stuff.
So you were capturing an image, like, which was usually a person standing there, or like a landscape.
Yeah, it could be anything.
Or something, and then the lens stays open, you're out there, you know, waving your fire around.
Exactly.
And it's capturing all that as well.
Exactly. So as long as you keep moving and you don't have light bouncing off of you, you don't show up, right? So I could walk around and you don't even see me, but as soon as I turn on a flashlight, that will absorb into the camera sensor and you see that.
This guy is so smart with everything involving cameras and photography. I'll post a couple of these pictures when I post this episode. They're really cool. I think you guys should all see
them.
Thanks, man. What do you do with them? Do you just do it for fun? Or
I just did them for fun, but my girlfriend, Deb Foster, she works, one of her many jobs, she works at an art gallery.
Very talented actress.
She works at an art studio here in Santa Monica. And they had, like, an empty space for an opening. She's like, oh, hey, you know, the owner will let you put up some light painting if you want. And I was like, all right, I didn't really care. I thought it was cool. So I printed some big ones out. And lots of times at these events, you know, you get people like, oh, Jeffrey incorporates the essence of human against
the... As you can see what Eric Smith did, yeah.
And I was like, nah, I'm definitely not going to do that. So literally my little note was like, yeah, I went out in the woods with some friends. We just dorked around for a while. And it was fun.
And did you get any feedback on that?
People liked it. No one bought one.
Nobody buy anything? What's the price run on one of those?
I was like, $60, cover the cost of printing.
$60, that seems completely reasonable.
I was told to put it like $300 just to make it seem cool.
Anytime you go into those art galleries and you're looking at something, you're like, that's a cool picture of a wolf. Oh, $12,000? Yeah, I guess I'll just look at it on the internet. It's so ridiculous. You go to those fancy art galleries. I remember when I was in third grade and my mom took me to see my uncle in D.C. and we went to whatever the big art gallery is there.
Oh, that's a museum, so not so art.
I don't know. It was modern art. there. Yeah. And I remember looking at these giant, like, canvases, you know, these 20 by 20 canvases, and it just have a red line down the middle. And I remember looking at my uncle like, what in the hell is this nonsense? And it would be $300,000 for this thing. I go, I can do that. And I am in third grade. I can almost do nothing. And I can do that. And I recently was there doing some shows, and he took me back to that art gallery, and that stuff was still up there. And I go, yeah, here's that
hasn't sold.
Stuff. Hasn't sold. Still available. Only 300. Discounted.
Down. 270.
Rolling back prices here. And I looked at it, and I go, yeah, I remember this. He goes, I do too. He goes, I remember you looking at me. You were in third grade, and I had such a hard time justifying why in the hell this was that price and why it was there. And he's one of those guys that really appreciates, like, something slightly better than that. Like, not that. I think he realized in the moment that was hogwash. But he's one of those guys that would appreciate going to a modern art place. And you know, he could see a vacuum cleaner in the middle of the room and be like, I see what they're doing here. Whereas I'm going to make fun of that, too. Like, have you been to the Broad? We're both, you guys can't see this, but we're both taking off our sweatshirts. It is a colder day in Los Angeles, which means it's probably
outside.
Like 62 degrees or something. And so Eric brought over stuff to make hot toddies, which we're both sipping, and now we're realizing we're getting a little hot and toddy. So we just both took off our sweatshirts here. Thanks for bringing the hot toddies, though. Oh, yeah. That's pretty cool. Have you been to the Broad?
Over on, what is it, Central
Art
City?
Museum. No, it's downtown, right by Disney Concert Hall.
No, I haven't.
Okay.
14 years here. Haven't been there.
It's spelled Broad. But I was corrected actually it's the Broad when we went in there, and some of the stuff is really cool. Like, they've got I'm gonna be an idiot now. Who's the guy? Warhol. They've got like some Warhol stuff, which I don't think it's fantastic, but I get it. It's fine. And they have some really cool things, and then they've got other crap that's just like a balloon.
Dude, side note on Warhol is Men in Black 2, I think it is.
Uh-huh.
When they go back in time to find one of the characters, they have to go back and find his younger self. Anyway,
is that number two or three?
Maybe three.
Okay.
Irrelevant.
We want to be accurate here on the podcast. That's a point of pride on the Hofcast. We are nothing if not accurate.
I think it was three. I think you're right. So they go back in time. They're trying to find a secret agent, an MIB agent, and they go into a club, like that classic important club from
like Studio 54.
They go into Studio 54. They go in the back room. There's Andy Warhol showing off like a hamburger, like on a pedestal, and everyone's like,
right.
Oh my God,
right.
Oh my God. And he's like, everyone leave, everyone leave. Everyone leaves. Then the Men in Black are like talking to him, like, Agent Yellow, whatever your name is.
His
name is, like, Jesus Christ, guys, you got to get me out of here. It's a fucking hamburger. I can't do this anymore. I can't do this. It's a hamburger.
Oh, I love it. I love that. Yeah, that's the idea. He knew it was bullshit. You know what? I don't think I own that movie, but I'm going to go back and watch it.
It's pretty good.
Is it?
I mean,
Men in Black 3?
My standards are pretty low.
Are your standards
I'm easily
low?
Easily entertained.
Okay, give us one of your top five movies of all time.
Baraka.
Oh my God. Okay.
An odd one.
Eric Smith's been on the podcast today. Thank you so much for coming, Eric. What? Baraka? Give me one of your top five movies of all time, and you come out with Baraka?
It's good.
Oh, here I am making fun of art house films, and you're like, here's this thing that you've never heard of.
Then on the other hand, I watched...
Wait, hold on. Baraka? I'm not letting... Hold on. Baraka. What the
Do
hell
you know
is...
It?
No. What the hell is Baraka?
It's incredibly amazing cinematography.
Is it a female Obama down in Mexico? Baraka? I'm Googling it right now. Now, you know what? I'm supposed to Metacrawler everything on the Hofcast. No, I'm supposed
to
web. Web crawler. Proud sponsor of the Hofcast, Webcrawler. The first search engine I ever used. And I will die with it.
And your new sponsor, AOL.com.
Baraka! My in-laws still have an AOL.com email address. When I have to email them, it's at AOL. I'm just like, what are you guys
doing?
And
they still have the disk?
Oh, it still says, you've got mail. Baraka. Wait, Mortal Kombat?
No. It's this beautiful cinematography all over the world, covering like people's religions, the world's religions and its people. And
Ron Fricke? A 1993 film shot by Ron Fricke in some 24 countries?
Yep. Shot on like 72 millimeter film.
And why it's beautiful. That's why it's gorgeous. One of your favorite.
But it's just powerful, like showing how different religions, different cultures were all so similar. And it does it with no dialogue, no speaking. It's just amazing footage and amazing music.
So it's like, one of your top five movies of all time is...
It makes you a better person.
Just sit there and watch. It's 96 minutes, you guys, if you want to go check that out. It's on Amazon.
It's beautiful. You won't be on the edge of your seat, though.
Oh, top five movie of all time. We got to make better movies out there, you guys.
My second favorite is Leap. Leap?
Is that also real?
That's Debs.
No, okay. There was a movie just recently, though, that was Leap, right?
Yeah, and Deb was pissed about that. She's like, they took my title.
Deb, his girlfriend, came out with a short film a year and a half ago.
Yeah,
a year ago?
A year ago.
Called it Leap, and then there was an actual movie. I thought you were talking about the full feature-length film Leap. Is it Pixar?
It's something like that. It's like digital animation, high quality.
Yeah, I think it's on Netflix right now. I haven't seen it, but I thought you were being real about that being
No, not that one.
Here. Okay.
Leap by Deb Foster.
Well, I guess it makes sense. You're like really into photography. Okay, we'll give you Baraka.
Thank you.
When did you see that?
I remember exactly. I used to go over to... So I was a freshman in high school in Hastings, Nebraska. You would have been a sophomore.
And I went over
to Toby, I forget his last name, but he was like a senior in theater with me, and like we'd hang out at his house sometimes and hit the old doo-ha-ha. And he would always have it playing in the background, and it was just amazing.
Baraka was playing in the background, and
it was like a stoner thing to do, to have this cool, trippy film playing, I think.
Have you watched it sober?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Do you own this movie?
I do.
You own it. Okay. All right, so Eric Smith recommends Baraka. If any of you photography lovers out there are into that kind of thing, I'll check out the trailer. I'll give you that much. I'll give you 2.5 minutes. I don't know if I can sit through 96 of nothing.
But then I'm also a big fan of Super Troopers.
Yeah, dude, Super Wide Troopers, range, did you man. See the new one?
Not yet.
I heard it was good.
Crowdfunded.
No.
Well, originally, and then a studio came in, right?
They had the studio. So this was the thing. I heard those guys on a podcast recently talk about it, and they said we were upfront about it. So we did get $2 million in crowdfunding from like a Kickstarter or whatever. And but they said on there, like, we do also have a studio backing it. We just need to get this money rolling to get these things and to kind of prove concept. But they did say we are going to have a studio. I guess, who was it? It was Zach Braff. Is that the Scrubs guy?
Yeah.
So he did that, and he didn't tell people that he also was getting money from a studio. So they were kind of pissed. They're like, oh, what is this? Just for catering? Like, what are we? I don't think it was Garden State, but I can't remember which one it was.
But I remember that.
Yeah, and he got in some trouble. So they're like, no, we were honest. Like, we got the $2 million and we needed that, but it was the studio was there as well. Like, I think, because I remember them coming on promoting that Kickstarter, and I was like, somebody needs to ask him why the hell.
Well, I know that. I watched an interview. They went around and shopped it, and no one was like, yeah, it took you like 2 years before, because it bombed in the theaters.
Mm hmm.
Right, and years later,
he was probably not in very many theaters.
That too, but it took a couple of years before it became that cult classic.
Yeah, it was big on DVD, which is part of the problem. They said is nobody buys DVDs anymore. So if you're not making money digitally, like then where what is your what's the point? But what the hell were we talking about? Why did we? Oh, because you said you like Super Troopers.
I was just saying.
Got to see the second one. Got to see it.
Wide range.
I hope. Some people's knock on it was that they were doing too much of like the same type of stuff, but that's what you loved. Like, you don't want to see them change it too much. Yeah. Like when Finding Dory came out and they didn't have any of the sharks back, I was like, what the hell? Were they demanding too much money?
See, that's the thing with art, man. I think any art, be it comedy, be it music, like in a band, right? Like, we would have people come up all the time and be like, hey, man, your set was good, but you should really do this.
Having said that, like, I do have some thoughts.
Dude, start your own band. And I'm sure you get the same thing where people are like, you should have said this. And you're like, you are more than welcome to get up here and do this yourself.
I never want people to do it. I just smile and I say, okay. Some comics don't take it at all. Some people are like, nope, get away from me. And I'm always like, no, just smile and whatever. Like, oh, yeah. Yeah, that's something. Because 1 in 100 will be a good suggestion.
Yeah.
1 in 100, you'll be like, all right, yeah, I'll give that a shot. And
but do you think that happens with, like, paintings? Like, could you see... I'm sure it does, but I've never heard of it or seen it. But, like, in a gallery, going up to the painter, you know what? You should have put more red in the corner.
Or, like,
right
Da Vinci's
here.
Wife walks in and she's like, you're going to make her a blonde? Make her a brunette. And he's like, all right. You make some good points. All right, I'll make Mona Lisa. Everybody knows she's blonde, but okay, I'll make a brunette.
The whole neighborhood's like, what? Right.
Whoa, this is great. Leo, you did it. He's like, my wife told me to do it that way. Sometimes I think about that, and like, you know, these people, these great works of art, but at some point they were just like propped up in the corner of their room.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, oh yeah, that's something I'm working on.
Yeah.
And like somebody sneezed on it, and like somebody knocked it over. It's like, don't worry about it. I didn't really like it.
Or none of them make money until they're dead.
Mm-hmm. That's why hopefully my wife will die soon. She's got some paintings around. Get her out of here, and we'll just sell the hell out of it. Oh, you mentioned a band. You were in a band.
I was in several.
Several. The most notably, though,
Curious Primate.
Curious Primate still exists on MySpace.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's still up there.
Still up there.
We're still friends with Tom.
even though he doesn't own the company anymore.
Yeah.
Now it's Justin Timberlake tried to revive it. That didn't work.
Really?
You were in a band. Yeah, I think he bought it and tried, and everybody's like, "Nah, we're kind of done with that now."
I mean, MySpace is definitely just music now.
Right.
Facebook obviously destroyed them.
Some people maybe still are on MySpace, I guess. Like, bands and creeps.
Yeah. That's
right?
It. Bands and creeps.
That's it. Which could be the name of a band. Bands and creeps. Okay, Curious Primate. I remember when you first moved out here, you moved out here with those guys.
I moved out here. One of them kind of moved a little early, Matt, the singer. And then the guitarist and I moved out from Lincoln.
And you were a badass bass guitarist. You were always up there barefoot and shirtless.
Yep.
Every live show, I just remember you just like, you came straight from the surfboard.
Put on that persona. Dude, what it came from is our rehearsal studio was a freaking sauna. When we would rehearse, it was so freaking hot in there that I would just like wear board shorts just because I was sweating.
And practice like you play.
And then I just got comfortable doing that. And I was like, shoes, these feel weird.
Yeah.
So I just went with that.
Dude, I remember one time, I feel like such a jackass. So you guys were playing above the Roxy?
On the Rocks.
On the Rocks. Do you remember this show? Did you guys play there a lot?
Yeah, we played there quite a bit.
Okay. Well, the time that I went and saw you guys there, I remember I was up there and I had a few drinks. And then I think I had to go, like maybe I had a show or something. And I was like, all right, you know, I got to take off. And you guys are up there playing. And I like walked up to the stage to say goodbye. Like, I mean, it was a casual, you know.
You leaned across the threshold. You crossed the threshold, the edge of the stage. I remember this. And you leaned over my pedals and was like, hey, trying to like give me a high five handshake like, or something. And I was like,
I'm going to take off now. Good playing. Are you guys still playing? Continue.
I'm going to do that one of your shows.
I don't know why I thought that was the play. I was like, oh, there's Eric. I know him. I'll say goodbye. That'd be rude not to.
You felt comfortable, like you were just in the studio with us.
Right? But you didn't miss a beat. You're like, okay, brother, bye.
Yeah.
I was like, all right. And then it was like later that night or the next morning, I was like, wait, did I like shake the band's hand mid-set? Is that what I thought was appropriate to do? God, that was funny. Damn it.
I
wish I wasn't an idiot.
I didn't even think of that. I totally remember that, though.
You do one thing. We've got a lot in common, but we've got a fair amount of differences. One of which is you do. You mentioned the board shorts out there. You're a surfer. You go out into the ocean.
I
do not do this. I'm terrified of sharks, but somehow you've gotten over that.
Dude, day one before I moved out here, I knew I wanted to surf.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You just like, that looks like fun? Were you a snowboarder or a skateboarder before that?
In Nebraska?
People ask me that. Do you skateboard in Nebraska?
It's snowboard.
Right, but our sidewalks, like, I remember getting a skateboard and trying, and just, like, every third plank on the sidewalk was just the wrong, you know, yeah.
Full
catch.
Stop.
Yep.
Over the front.
Yeah. There's no way I was going to do that.
I never skateboarded back when I was young. My cousins, who are German, actually, two of them were pro skateboarders.
Okay.
So, like, every other year they'd come over for, you know, a month or something, and like they were just crushing it, hitting stairs and rails, and I was like, yeah, I can skate. And
they were doing that in Nebraska?
Yeah, when they'd come visit.
That's so wild. And I couldn't do anything.
But I tried to keep up with them.
I think that the people that do skateboarding and do it well, those are like tenacious people that are willing just take like their face being wiped off multiple times.
Surfing's way easier.
Easier or just, well,
like, I think just
like
you
less
fall,
brutal?
Less brutal. You're right.
Yeah,
less
brutal. But the one in, like, how many people get eaten by a shark that surf? Like 1 in 5?
No. Not even
six. One in six.
Stop it with your paranoia.
It's like the same people that don't recommend Trident.
The Margaret River Pro, that just the contest on the Pro Tour just got called off because there were shark attacks north and south.
And these are the professionals. Yeah, they're like, hey,
well,
guess what?
West Australia. There's sharks.
There are things that eat people. Let's call this off.
Dude, so I was thinking about this because I rode my bike down this morning to go surf at the Venice Pier.
You were surfing this morning?
Yeah.
Ugh.
And then I rode my, on my way back, I was like, Nick's probably going to bring this up and talk about how sharks are so dangerous, surfing's so dangerous. And I'm just looking around like, okay, here's a cement truck that's like cutting me off on my bicycle. Here's some douchebag in a rented Porsche flying over here, showing off to his girlfriend.
Nobody
like,
told you to go down the PCH on a bicycle.
This was Washington. This was Washington Boulevard.
Bug life.
Way more dangerous.
Yeah, but it's just one of those things, like the reason I don't go out like in a lightning storm. Like, I know the chances are small, but nobody wants to win that lottery.
Yeah.
That girl that got her... I used to have a joke about this when I first started comedy, that girl that got her arm bit off, the professional surfing girl, that got her arm bit
Bethany
off
Hamilton.
And they made him... Bethany Hamilton.
Kawhi.
And then they made a movie or a documentary about her, and they're like, do you think about sharks when you're out there? She's like, that's pretty much all I think about when I'm out there on the surfboard. But you can tell, like, whoever, like, O'Neill was paying her too much money.
Yeah.
She's like, my life is worth less than O'Neill is paying me.
I surfed with her in Kauai by chance.
Pre or post-arm?
Post.
Post-arm,
I was walking out across the reef, and I look over, I'm like, oh, there's a couple girls going out. Like, girls are
awesome.
There's
a couple girls going out, three arms.
Yeah. Girls are great in the lineup because they just kind of, like, change the vibe. When it's all dudes, it's all, like... kind of maybe don't look at each other or tough bullshit stuff.
Okay.
Crap. I don't know. Is this a family show?
You've already dropped the F-bomb. That's fine.
Sorry.
First one on Hofcast. That's all right. We'll let it roll.
Can I get a medal? And I'm like, all right, cool. Girls are going in the lineup. It lightens things. It's a little more fun usually. And then I was like, wait, that girl looks like she has one arm. Like, no way. There's two on Kauai. And then sure enough, it was Bethany. And she crushed it. She was surfing.
Did you go talk to her?
No. She was surfing circles around me, man.
Really?
Yeah.
When was this?
5 years ago.
5 years ago, and still...
She's good, man.
She hasn't got a fake arm yet?
Mm-mm.
That's her signature now?
Yeah.
It throw
well,
off
dude,
her balance.
So when you're surfing a shortboard, to get under bigger waves, you do this thing called duck dive, where you push down on the front of the board, and you kind of like slip underneath as the white water rolls over top of you.
Okay.
And that's how it's easier to get through the white water, right? So I always wondered, how does she do that with one arm? But then when I was surfing with her, I noticed she had like a little handle, like... bolted or fixed to the front of her board, and she would just grab that
and push that
dive
down.
Right under.
So rather than get a fake arm, I feel like she'd want it for balance. I feel like you'd want to. Can't you get like a? I guess she's
a big weight.
I mean, she lost a lot of it, huh?
Yeah, it's like
so
above
just,
the arm.
Her arm would just be dangling there.
Yeah, there's nothing to be done.
All right.
She's got. I think she's one kid, maybe two now. Like she's crushing, man.
And are they surfing?
I'm sure.
Wait, two kids is crushing it?
No.
I got three.
Like,
I'm killing it, son. Can't mess with me. So Bethany Hamilton. There's another Hamilton that's like a famous surfer,
Larry
right?
Hamilton.
Is that her dad?
No. I don't think they're related. Larry Hamilton, he's got a house up in Malibu, and he's got a house on the north shore of, not Kauai, I forget what island.
I'm going to look this girl up. She's got her own website, Bethany Hamilton.
Oh, yeah.
Let's check it out. There she is, pro surfer. Yep, she's a lot older now. No, I'm not signing up for your email list. Bethany. I'm looking at her surfboard. I don't see any modifications, so she's still legal. Dude, yeah, she lost her arm, man. That's not I don't want to go down that road. I know.
Do you want me to Google how many people have been hurt in car accidents?
No, because that's not going to help me, because I have to ride in a car.
Then you're just going
to
stay in the house.
I don't have to go.
You're not going to leave.
Listen, I've ridden. We own two, what are they called? Boogie boards? Body boards?
Boogie boards.
And I've been out there because Sarah loves the ocean. I've been out there, and almost the entire time, I just envision being bitten in half. That's all I can think about.
Get out of your head.
And now on Facebook, every other post is like...
Agree to disagree. We're not going to get anywhere with this discussion.
I'm trying to make you less happy, Eric. If I can get you out of the water and sad, then I'll have done my job. You know what? Actually, it'd be great for the podcast if you got eaten. Like, right after my wife dies and I sell all her art, if you get eaten by a shark and then you like, your head comes on the podcast.
In my last breath, I say, Hoffcast!
Yeah, absolutely. Record it. Like, if you're dying and they've pulled you out of the water and you're just a head, say, Nick was right! Everyone should listen. Just do me that solid, okay?
You got it.
Okay? And I'll stop bothering you.
Podcasts are found.
And I'll stop bothering you about... there's a picture of her here, and she's got a guy on each side, and she's got her arm around one guy.
Oh, my God. Close that window. Close that window.
He's such a jerk. No, that's an inspiring story, but the whole time I heard it, I was like, no, you shouldn't be. I wouldn't be surfing after that.
Dude, you should. All right, if you want to see, just Google Bethany Hamilton Pipeline.
Bethany Hamilton Pipeline?
Yeah, her. Just find a 15, 20 foot.
This is her surfing.
Yeah.
Okay. Web crawler. Bethany Hamilton.
Proud sponsor.
Pipeline.
Of the Hoffcast.
Proud sponsor. Ooh, there's a video tab you can click. Here we go. All right. Here we go. So I'm pulling it up here, guys, so you don't have to.
My point is, it's like.
All right. Here she
is. Look at that. Just. That's a solid.
Oh, I thought that was a shark. I thought that other surfer was a shark.
That is a 20 foot wave, and she's just crushing. And a kick out.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so that, she just crushed it for the, I watched 18 seconds of that clip. That's my other problem with surfing, is it's fun for such short spurts.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, if you're snow skiing or something, you can get to the top of the mountain and take 10 minutes to get down.
And that's why it's easier. It's like, you go up, you're coming down. If you paddle out, you might not catch a wave.
Right, but, like, how long is a wave, usually? What's the average wave you catch? 10, 15 seconds?
No. Depends where you're at. Like, beach break here in Santa Monica,
this morning,
Monica, Venice,
when you were out there.
Two.
2 seconds?
Three.
So you're, yay, done.
Yeah.
See, that's the other problem I have. That's not enough of an incentive for me to be bitten in half for a lifetime. Like, 2 seconds of pleasure is not enough to get... You know what? That's fine. You do what you want to do. I'm just trying to tell you...
You know, the title of this podcast needs to just be Bitten in Half for a Lifetime.
Bitten in Half Forever. For the rest of what you got going on. Dude, I don't want to do it. All right. You do it. You do it. Listeners, if you think I'm wrong, let me know. But you know I'm right. You know the deal. Okay. Well, you mentioned that we both grew up in Nebraska.
Yep.
What?
Just off. I was on Baltimore. You were just off.
What?
I live
in
Baltimore.
Oh, yeah. Where we were living. Yeah. Just not even like two blocks away.
Just across Libs.
Just across Libs Park, where my buddy Jeff and I used to go, and we had a full 18-hole golf course that we'd play to trees. Like, you'd have to hit the ball against the base of the tree. And in the summer, there was that pool out there, and we'd be hit hole number two. You had to hit your drive over the pool. And those lifeguards like, don't you do it! Don't you do it! And we just hit. You son of a bitch! You could have killed someone.
That pool's
like,
gone now.
We're fine. Yeah, pool's gone.
I didn't know that. I just drove by and was like, what the heck?
Do your parents still live there?
Yep. Not at Baltimore.
Not in the same house?
Yeah. Other side of town.
Yeah, your dad was a teacher at the high school.
Yep.
And I had freshman year English across from your dad. And
are you going to tell the story?
Yes.
He loves that story. And he tells me, like, did I ever? Yeah, Dad.
Yeah, what a pile of garbage. Okay. This dude is maybe the coolest person in all of Nebraska. Like, if you go, you see him, he looks like Elvis, like an alternate version of Elvis.
Or Wolverine.
Both very cool, both with the same kind of coiffed hair. So he taught shop, right? And they, like, go in there and work on cars. So, like, everybody in his class was an upperclassman. At least when I had English,
only.
Which was my last period of the day. Yeah, juniors and seniors only. So these guys are all huge. And they knew...
No, they weren't huge. You were just super
I was tiny.
Tiny.
I was 5 foot one, maybe.
Until my junior year.
but these guys were the bigger guys in school. They were the juniors and seniors that are, you know, taking shop and working on those things. They, you know, there were a couple of scranos in there, but for the most part, they were a foot and a half taller than me. And I remember, because I'd see these guys, because we all would play football, And, you know, I'd be talking trash, you know, just in my joking way. And, but they'd screw with me the other way, like, yeah, no, I'm going to kill you. And, yeah, everybody has a laugh, but at the same time, there's a little bit of a threat there. And I remember one time I was, like, mouthing off, and some guys were going to murder me, and your dad, like, let it happen. Your dad, like, allowed. I saw your dad. I was like, help! And he's like, "Yeah, I'm going to let this one play out." And I
see where the cards fall.
Oh my God. I never took that class as a result. I was like, no, I'm not going back in there where like I'm going into the belly
Smith
of the beast.
Threw me under the
Smith will just throw me under the bus when they're working on a literal bus. I'm not gonna let that happen. Oh, I still remember that. That was that was the other one. That is the English class. I had trouble that year.
Mr. Packard,
R.I.P. He would always write his English tests about his students. So given 30 questions, you know, you had like a 1 in 30 chance of being a question. And every test, I was a question. And it was always, when Hoff has served 7 of his 30 life sentences in, you know, the state pen. And I'm like, what the hell are you trying to lay on my head here? Like, why am I always in prison in your English fantasy? Oh, I couldn't believe. Did you have to take his class?
I did.
He had that giant stick.
Yeah.
He had a giant, like, billy club.
Yes.
That just, like, sat there. I don't think he ever took it down, but it just was there. Like a Lion King Rafiki, like, I'm going to batter you in the head with this. It had a name?
Well, no, just like that it was there. It didn't do anything with it, but it just had this presence.
Yes.
This, like, threatening overtone.
This unannounced presence up there, and everybody's like, why the hell? And he was a bigger dude.
Yeah.
Granted, again, I was 5'1", 96 pounds. But he was, like, a stout individual. I'll bet you he was 5'11", 260.
Yeah.
He could do some damage. Did your dad ever intimidate you like that growing up?
Did he
ever screw with you?
Oh, yeah. There were definitely some years where I was a punk. Like, I couldn't handle, like, if I was an adult that had me, I couldn't handle it.
Yeah.
Like, I was a jackass.
So what would he do to you?
My brother and I, we got spanked growing up.
Sure, as did I.
We had a designated paddle for each of us.
Uh-huh.
And, like, I actually wrote into the...
Wait, you had your own, like, it said Eric on it?
Yeah. I don't know why we had to have different ones, but... But I actually wrote into the Santa Monica paper one time defending spanking. It was an article about, like, this child rearing expert said that spanking is always just about anger and violence and it's never about education. And
sure.
And I was just like, nope, sorry, I'm going to say that's wrong because my parents, they never hit me out of anger. It was never just like whack. It was always, what did you do? And I'd be like, nothing. What did you, nothing. No, you stole $30 from mom's purse. Fine. Right. So
yep.
They were always very calm. Well, dad was maybe not always calm. Mom was calm. And she was like, maybe 2 spankings. And dad's like, 10.
Oh, so they'd talk you through it.
Yeah. This is why we're doing
this. Take the energy out of the room.
Exactly. We love you. We care about you. But you did something wrong.
Here is the
beating. You know it. Here's the punishment. And, like, I was fine 10 minutes later.
Sure. Yeah, right? No damage.
Not at all.
But, so, okay, did you battle back?
When I got older, I did.
Yeah.
Like, my dad never hit me or anything, but we definitely had some, like, shoving matches and some...
Did your mom ever spank you?
Once in a while.
My mom would use a wooden spoon. And it wasn't very often, but when she'd do it, she'd grab a wooden spoon.
Yeah.
And I remember the last time she ever tried, I was probably in junior high, and she tried to come after me, and I grabbed her wrist and, like, held it away from me. And she's like, you let go of my wrist. You let go. This is abuse. This is abuse. And I was like, you're trying to hit me. And that was the last time she ever tried. But, God, I just...
I threatened to call the cops on my parents one time when I was, like, junior high probably.
Sure,
right?
Sure.
And my dad's like, really? Interesting. 2 days later, takes me to the police station because, like, the, I don't know, second in command was an old student of his.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, hey, officer, whatever.
Friendly.
Here's my son. He thinks he's getting... He's like, ah, come on in. Shows me the jail, shows me this, threatens me with this. And my dad's just loving it.
Do you remember why you were going to call the police?
Because they spanked me, or, like, my curfew was midnight instead of 2 or something.
Right.
Just dumb.
I would have loved to have been the field officer that housed that call. Like, oh, interesting. All right. Your parents are coming with me. That'd be fantastic. I'm sure that happens all the time, especially now with cell phones.
Yeah.
People must. I've dialed 911 10 times since living here. I dial once a year.
Really?
Yeah. You ever call 911?
I did once because a car on the freeway was just like crossing lanes, driving like a psycho.
Like, this guy's drunk,
yeah,
or
and it was
something.
Like midnight or something. So I called and just said, black sedan, license plate this, sort, whatever.
Did you get any justice? Did you? You
he
said,
was,
see, you don't
gone.
Get to follow. Yeah. That's my biggest thing. I want a follow up call.
That's what I
call.
Follow up.
I call 911 once a year because I see something dangerous or something crazy or someone's in trouble. And I never get a follow up. I'm always like, this guy is chasing this guy with a baseball bat down Venice Boulevard. You better get here because he's catching up.
Hey, is this Nick Hoff? This is Susan at the 911 center. Can we get a coffee? I'd love to walk you through
the
arrest.
Can you tell me what happened? We showed up. The guy was dead. your call did nothing, although we found the body right away. So I guess there's that. You know, I need something. Tell me what happened. Or, oh, yeah, we got the guy. He was an asshole and he had 12 people chained up in his basement. Thank you so much. Give me some recognition.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what? Next time I call, I'm going to request a follow-up.
Before I tell you this,
before
I want
you,
you have to promise
me, pinky swear, that you are going to let me know how this plays out. I am now an integral part of this investigation. I'm going to need answers. Okay?
And a badge.
I feel like, what would they say? They'd have to say yes.
Sir, you're impeding an investigation. Just give us the information.
I can going through it. Can you hear me? Sir, quit doing that. It's obvious that you're bad at faking it. I'm going to try it. As long as it's not like crazy, like someone needs you now. Which I guess, what then? Why am I calling 911? Damn it.
That's like write your council member.
I'll just ask him afterward. I'll be like, go ahead and phone it in. And then I've got a survey for you.
I've got a follow up.
I don't really think I could do that. And maybe they will. Maybe they won't. But I want to find out. I never know if these people lived.
So my response is like they're understaffed to respond, right? That's got to be their answer.
Yeah.
But you remember when SpaceX launched out of Vandenberg, like right around Christmas?
Yes.
And they launched.
And everybody thought aliens are coming,
yeah,
or North Korea.
So they
Korea.
Launched just after sunset, which means that it's
SpaceX
dark.
Going. It's, you know, basically the new NASA,
yeah,
personally,
well,
funded.
They're private.
Yeah.
And they're kicking ass. They actually landed their 25th rocket this afternoon.
Oh, yeah.
BTW. But they, right? So they knew this launch was coming. They launched just after the sun had set. So once the rocket got higher in the atmosphere, the sunlight hit the exhaust and this huge,
right,
awesome, crazy looking thing in the sky. Everyone freaks out. People are crashing on the freeways. People are calling 911 thinking it's North Korea. And my thought was, why didn't the news or somebody say, hey, just FYI, this is going to happen on Thursday?
I was surprised that they didn't give us a heads up. Like, maybe 911
got tons of calls.
Well, you said that they, you know, landed and launched today, right?
Yeah.
So and I didn't see it, and I don't think a lot of people saw it.
No, I'm a space nut.
No, but maybe that's just what they thought. Maybe they thought, well, probably nobody's going to see this.
Well, it's a very common thing. So, like, someone commented I read somewhere who, like, was stationed at Vandenberg for years.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, yeah, there's a window before sunrise and after sunset where we know if a rocket's launching, it could look awesome. So we would, like, set up lawn chairs. Like, everyone knows this is what happens.
So they knew it. So I bet it was a publicity move, huh? They were like, if we do this, people are going to freak out and we're going to get a ton of exposure.
Yeah. Seems like they could have got that same amount of exposure if they were just like press release.
Nah,
because
people wouldn't have flipped out the way they did.
Maybe.
There's no way. I think now I see it for what it is. A dirty ploy.
The Earth's flat.
To freak us out. Flat earthers. Hey, who knows? I don't know anything. I don't want to boo-hoo anything. I mean, I just take what most people say.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I haven't found out the science for myself.
Well, that's the great thing about science, is you can trust other people.
Not necessarily.
Yeah, there definitely are schemes.
There's crazy things. I was just listening to people talk about the other day, like the sugar industry paid off scientists to like blame it on saturated fats instead of
sugar.
I was listening on the Joe Rogan podcast. They're like, yeah, the sugar people paid off scientists to say, nope, it's saturated fats instead of sugar. And now we're like, oh, wait, sugar?
Well,
maybe you shouldn't be eating bread either.
Yeah. Just follow the money.
Well, yeah, but things happen and people put so much money behind something, then they're like,
that's what
no,
I mean.
No, we're not going to let that go.
Yeah.
So where's the money? So
not flat earthers, where's the money? Like, where would the money be to say that it's a flat earth?
Ball salesman. Okay, the Frisbee people have taken it on the chin long enough. Like, we need to sell more Frisbee globes. Frickin' spherical a-holes.
So the flat earthers have a Twitter account, right? Uh-huh. And SpaceX CEO Elon Musk tweeted them, said, hey, if there's a flat earth Twitter, why isn't there a flat Mars Twitter? The flat earth Twitter people responded, hey, Elon, thanks for the inquiry. We've seen that Mars is round and the other planets in the solar system have round, but we haven't seen the earth, so we think it's flat. That was their official response, is everything else is round, but we don't know about Earth.
Huh. But we've seen pictures of Earth, so who's got this problem? Yeah, they're a bunch of lunatics, but those people exist. But I bet you somewhere there's a crazy, like, theory or a that is actually correct. Like, there's got to be one. Like, out of the millions of conspiracy theories, one of them is probably right. And everybody's like, this person's a wingnut. And then, in 30 years, we're going to be like, oh, no, never mind.
Things like that have come out. Man, I wish I was better with remembering details, but there's something from... some small war back in like the 50s, I think it was. It wasn't like the Korean or Vietnam or anything, but it was a smaller engagement, right?
Okay.
That the U.S. government said, yep, we're going in there. Something happened. We got to go solve this. And then within the last 2 years, got released. Yeah, no, that never actually happened. The entire reason we sent forces in. Like, they just, and it was a theory for years.
Wait. That was what?
So.
We never actually went in?
We did. We went in and tore shit up.
But it wasn't because of that?
But it wasn't because of, like, some soldiers were captured and then killed. That's what we claimed. It was something like...
Are you talking about Argo?
Oh, no.
The movie? The Ben Affleck movie?
No. And we flew him out on a 747.
And then we got him out of there. We dressed him up like a film crow, gave Ben Affleck a crazy beard, and we were out of there. And they're like, wait, is that Ben Affleck? We're like, no, Good Will Hunting hasn't come out for 30 years. Don't mind him. That's a good movie.
That was a good movie.
I own it. I've only seen it once. Why don't I watch that more? Because it's in the 70s and everything there is bland and hard to look at. As a photographer, someone with a keen eye, do you find a particular decade to be unappetizing?
No.
I think the 70s are gross.
Well, here's the thing. Is like, you think how they're portrayed is gross, right?
I think the coloring is gross.
But if you lived in that time, the coloring wasn't like that. Or are you talking about the fashion color palette of the time?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, when the movie Kingpin is undeniably funny, and I can't watch it because of the outfits.
You fashionista.
Yeah. Everyone that knows me knows I'm a very well-dressed individual.
I can tell.
I'm here
right
in my
now, Jazz
t-shirt and Clippers shorts and my indoor shoes. No, I don't like it. I don't like looking at that.
I see what you're saying. But I think it's more of like portrayal. Like, I didn't live then. You didn't live then. You've never seen it. But
I have
in
to
cinema,
just,
that's
you know,
what it looked like.
So you sound like a flat earther right now. Like, you've seen it, but we don't really know. Like, who knows what it looked like right then? Could have been all pinks and beautiful colors.
Yeah.
Deep, rich blacks. Black t-shirts. I hate. Oh, God.
No, dude, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Hot toddy's going straight to my head.
Deb posted something on Instagram. I was sitting with her sister and we were color grading a video of hers.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, all right, so we're just going to lower the blacks here so they look real rich, right? And like someone commented on the video, like, the blacks are always getting lowered. And just for those of you who don't know, like, blacks and whites and color contrast, you can push those around in color grading. Like, that's what it's all about.
Yep.
Of course, someone was... I mean, they were joking, obviously. They were someone I know.
Sure, but this is a YouTube comment or something
Instagram
like that?
Yeah, Instagram comment. And it was just like...
Yep. Yep. Everything's taken out of context. I don't know why my levels are so low right now. Why is that? Hopefully people can still hear me.
Your energy's up there.
My energy's fine. Oh, well. Screw it. Doesn't matter. Okay. So we've talked about your film company. What's next with it? What do you got coming down the pipeline?
Doing something at Jenny Craig in the next couple weeks. Jenny Craig Corporate.
Dude, 1-800-94-JENNY.
Yeah.
I used to call that number all the time from a payphone and ask for Jenny. like all the time. Like if I saw a payphone, there was no chance I wasn't doing that.
That's you.
The person that I answered was always like, "No, she's not here right now." I was like, "Eh, tell her to give me a call.
Could you check your refrigerator?"
I'm 12 years old.
Yeah.
Okay, so Jenny
that's
Craig.
That's just like a corporate thing, nothing fancy there. Let's see, what's I got a client that's a facial recognition software and hardware company.
Is this the one that Indiana did?
Yeah.
Is it that same?
That's right. My wife
and kid were in a little film, a little short ad.
Yeah. Not a film, it's an ad.
About policemen recognizing a bad person.
So this company makes software that can analyze a photo or video and connect it with people. Like Apple came out with, you know, their phone that does 6,000 points of recognition.
Right.
I was talking with these guys on a meeting and I was like, "What do you think of Apple?" And they're like, "Huh, 6,000? That's cute. We do 150,000.
150,000?
Something crazy.
And like is that. This that your client is that company?
Yeah.
Do you trust them?
Yeah.
Don't you feel like there's something to having all our faces? Like when Apple asked for my thumbprint, I was like, "Ah, you bastards are up to something."
So the police thing, so they have, I think, like 40 police departments already use this, where like they can pull out a phone. If someone doesn't have an ID to prove who they are, they have two options. One, put them in the car, take them to the police station, try to figure out who the hell they are, which takes time, takes effort. Or two, they can pull out their phone, snap a photo, and in 10 seconds, they know if the person already has been booked and has a record. They're in the system and they can get a ping for who they are.
If they haven't been booked,
you still don't know who they are.
But eventually it's going to be like that movie Minority Report where they're just like, "Mr. Johnson,
yeah,
how are those Levi's treating you?"
Like, I totally agree that it's easy to get a little too far.
It's coming. Well, it's coming.
The dude in China got busted at a music festival with 100,000 people just walking through the gate. They scanned him, caught him, arrested.
What did he do?
Some serious stuff. Like he was not I forget what it was, but he was like wanted, and he knew he was.
So
wanted.
He was wanted, and he was just in a big crowd he thinking I'm safe.
Exactly.
And then they're like, "Oh no, we got you."
Yeah, but I totally agree that it's possible it could get construed real easily.
Dude, it's all gonna come collapsing down on us.
Yeah.
In our lifetime.
I'm getting a Google HomePod today.
What
not a sponsor of HoffPass.
Nope. Hoffcast. We'll bleep that out.
You know, one of those like little smart speakers that's arriving today,
like hey, Google. Hey Google,
yeah, right,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Turn on stuff and whatnot. Deb's freaked out by it. She's like, "Yeah, I don't like it.
I don't." You know what? They're listening. There's no doubt they're listening.
Yeah. Well, you know how people were thinking that Facebook was listening and like sending them ads and whatnot.
Right.
I read a great article that broke it down and like basically someone who like used to work for the NSA was like. The NSA couldn't process all of that audio.
I read that same article.
Everybody's phone. It's not possible. But when you use your phone number at CVS and you bought these items,
You had a cold and you bought cough drops, then all of a sudden you're getting...
There's so many other ways that they can track stuff besides just Facebook.
And they're getting all that data. Somebody's got all the data on you. And like Facebook can track when you leave their page what page you go to. They can do that.
Just that last,
like, what are you leaving us for? And so they know. They know that at least. So I'm always, you know, I'm always screwing with them. You know, I'll go from Facebook to MySpace just to be like, "Really? Who's still going to Friendster? Why is that a thing? Yeah, Google Plus, you piece of garbage." You know, just to mess with them. That's why I will Google Bing and Bing Google.
Yeah,
every couple of days Google just to Bing, mess with them.
And I bet there's some analysis that's just like, this just Nikoff 597 and
Googling Bing. Like, how do they not know that Google will also do the Bing thing? Bing made a push, but I think they're dead, aren't they?
Yeah.
Are they dead? Is that Microsoft? Microsoft Bing?
I don't know.
They probably force it if you're like on Explorer or something.
Yeah.
Okay. I feel like you know about all this stuff more than I do. Anytime I have a question related to technology, I come to you.
I'm not that good, but Silicon Beach, man. It's the future.
He says he's not that good, yet he brought his own mic equipment to my studio to podcast. Like, here I am on this little $80 microphone, and he brought in this boom, and he's got, like, a shield so that his pops aren't too much.
It's called a pop filter.
So if you guys are wondering why Eric sounds so much better than me, it's because he brought in his own equipment.
I didn't want to huddle with you around that one.
You couldn't look right like into my face,
like
breathe in my hot toddy.
A 1950s
vocals.
Band,
that's how they used to do it. They're like, hey guys, we got one microphone, so
rotate.
We only have enough tape for, I know it's a 3.5 minute song, but you're going to have to do it in under three.
Speed it up.
Cut off the fourth, I want to hold her hand, because we don't got time for that many hand holdings, okay guys? All right, one, two, and a three. Here I am, just blowing content onto the internet, just in hour chunks. So much more stuff than anybody ever needs, but you guys need it.
Content.
You guys need it.
Content is king.
Eric,
is
what else have we not talked about? What else is going on? How are you feeling about the world? You think we're all dead?
I don't think we're all dead.
Do you think this earth is going to keep on spinning for a couple hundred more years?
It's going to keep spinning. Is life going to exist on it? I don't know about that.
Well, what do you think?
Here's, in a nutshell, here's my thing, right? And if you can't, obviously you can't see, but my arms are spread out a little more as far as I can reach, right? On one end, we have the beginning of time.
Okay.
Right? On the other end, we have where we're at right now. Millions and millions of years have gone by that nothing has happened to the earth. And then we've had creatures and whatnot on the earth for a good chunk, and then we've had this little tiny sliver where humans have been on the earth,
right?
And then of that sliver, a little tiny sliver where we've had industrialization, where we've actually had an effect on the world. And we're at that cusp where we're like, in the next few years, if we don't turn things around, we are screwed.
Oh, you're talking about global warming?
Well, I'm talking about global warming, using resources, everything. Like, it's like if you live on a houseboat, you can't use all the resources and expect it to keep floating.
Right.
Right? You have
to. So what's our resource that's going to go first?
Well, water is going to be the next thing that we fight about. Like big, big fights.
Like clean water?
Mm-hmm. Water. Can't we, it's already starting.
Here's a stupid question. Can't we make water?
It's
H2O,
a lot of energy. We
right?
Can, we can. It's a lot of energy to make it happen.
Okay.
So if we could figure out how to make solar panels crazy efficient, or nuclear fission versus fusion. Maybe
there's a difference between fission and
fusion. I forget which is which. One is splitting an atom and the other is putting them together,
and we need to be able to put them together.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is fission.
We would be able to do that.
Yeah, sure, why not?
You know,
I mean, we've got Google Home that can just talk to me.
Got Google Home. You know, I think somebody will web crawler how do I glue these things together, and they'll figure it out.
Yeah,
so we make water, so then that's Nestle, there was something happening with them a few years ago where we were like...
Well, with Nestle and Dove and... what's their...
They were taking water and they said, we don't have a right to it.
Oh, they still are. So Nestle in California paid, I think it was literally like $20 water rights years ago. And they're just tapping water like crazy and selling truckloads and truckloads and truckloads
at
of water.
At the same price.
The same price.
That, yeah.
Pennies. Not even pennies.
Right. Water's,
fractions.
Water's pennies, right?
Well, I'm saying they're paying fractions of a penny for every dollar they make. Well, same thing, like, you know.
But from what water costs, or they're paying the same as all of us?
They're paying nothing on it. Because it's not like from a city. It's from a spring up in the mountains that they made a factory around.
Okay.
And they paid a very cheap yearly rate to...
To get that water.
Bottle it up.
Somebody made a bad water deal.
Yeah, well, someone got paid off, unfortunately.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Okay. So we don't have infinite water. We got to figure out how to create it efficiently. If we do that, then what's the problem?
Well, then the next problem. Well, there's tons of problems.
I think the one I see is we're gonna all go to war with each other because we're stupid.
Yeah.
Because people are stupid. I'm looking.
Super stupid.
People are posting YouTube videos and like even on TMZ, I see these people that are these. I mean. Music stars that are making so much money, they're so popular, and they are almost illiterate when you listen to them talk. And they're like dancing with a gun in their mouth, and you're like, wait, this is who we're all following?
Idiocracy.
Like, this is not good.
Yeah. It's a pendulum, right?
I feel like that's what's going to kill us. I don't think it's going to be us over time, like crushing the ozone layer or something like that.
Like a natural thing. You think it's just going to be our stupidity?
I think so. Because any natural thing, I think we'll learn to overcome and adapt. Like, you know, if it's water, we'll just all drink Gatorade.
Plants like electrolytes. No, they don't.
This is the second time Idiocracy has come up on the podcast. It's a real thing.
That's where we're headed.
Yeah, I mean, there's there are people that talk about water scarcity, and then there are people that talk about, like, well, we're going to melt the ice caps and there's going to be too much water.
But it's salt water.
And I remember for like a minute I had a joke that never worked. But I always said, you know, people are worried we're going to melt the polar ice caps, we're going to be flooded. Well, I got the answer. Waste more water. Flush that toilet a couple more times, you know, let the faucet run. See, that is the best reaction that it has ever gotten. And I've said it in front of crowds of like, you know, 75, 80 people. And they're just like, that'll never work. I'm like, it's a comedy show.
Yeah. Son, it's ridiculous. Did they not realize they walked into a comedy show?
Yeah, people get
I thought there was an environmental
up.
Debate.
People get caught up on things. You say certain. I probably said global warming and people had so much coming into that that they brought with them.
Yeah.
They had their own like personal crap about global warming and then they just couldn't hear the joke. I had a gal in Spokane, Washington last month that I have a joke that uses speaking in tongues as a euphemism. Because I'm talking about like how a guy like the term pull and pray and how this guy's praying like right after sex to not have a baby. And the girl says, well, if you know, you don't have a baby, just speak to me in tongues. And, you know, it's a euphemism for some sexual activity. And a lady in the front is like, no, speaking in tongues. I am. That is my religion. I think I've talked about this on the podcast. She's like, that is my religion. You don't say anything bad about my religion. I was like, hey, that's not, I'm not making fun of you. I'm just borrowing a phrase.
Yeah.
Why don't you back up? People don't get it. People don't get it, Eric.
I saw something recently that someone was like, you know what our problem was? And like why we're having such issues right now, like at least in the US, is that growing up was like, oh, we don't talk politics.
Right.
Right? Everyone just, oh, don't talk politics. So then what it becomes is like, well, me and my team think this, and we're not going to talk to the other team because they're the other team because we don't know how to talk about it.
That's part of the problem.
We just get passionate about what we think, and that's it.
It's team politics. That's what it is. Like, people are so into
So obviously, I mean, I'm a Democrat. Well, actually, I'm an independent, but I voted Democrat.
Sure.
My guy didn't win last time.
I'm independent. I don't vote.
Hashtag moon. I have a friend who's Republican, like loves petroleum products. Like he's in the industry, but he's educated. He knows a lot of information. He'll call me out when I post something wrong and I'll be like, dude, thank you. That's information I didn't know. You're right. Like we still disagree, but he knows what he's talking about. I will talk to him all day.
Sure.
But when people just spout information, they don't know anything more than the headline.
Yeah. I think the key is people realizing they don't know everything. That's the whole thing.
Yeah.
You just don't know. When a politician makes a questionable call, it's okay to question it, but you got to find the information there behind it. Like, I don't know everything that's going on behind the scenes. I'm not going to question, you know, why an NBA coach, you know, called this play after a timeout because I don't have all the information. I was just watching something, but maybe he's got something. Yeah. Oh, a game back in 81 that I played in and this is what happened and we were able to, you know, I don't have all that information. I think as long as people are able to talk about it, like you and I differ a lot politically, I think. Like I am fiscally conservative and then socially liberal. But I think we do have some differences. You know, I like small government. I kind of feel like keep your hands out. I probably cut programs that you would call me up and be like, hey, I did your podcast. You can't cut surfing out of the
national
budget.
Surfing program.
we're spending hundreds of pennies every year on the national surfing budget, and we just can't afford it anymore, Eric. Okay, people be bitten in half. We can't afford lifeguards, all
Somehow
right?
It came
Quit
back
going
around to
in
that.
The water. And I feel like we disagree a lot, but we're able to listen to each other.
Yeah.
And realize that also we can't prove anything really.
Yeah. Well, and so here's a big thing is like, and I we're just getting like deeper and deeper into this, I think, is that everyone thinks that their opinion is right. Opinions matter, but that doesn't mean they're right. And that's one of the beautiful things about science is that opinions change, right? Like scientists, like new information comes out. I was wrong. We now figured out that blankety blank blank
right,
is
right.
Whatever. Cool. That's what it is now. But with so many other things, it's just like, nope, that's what I think, that's what it is, no information, new stuff, none of it matters.
Right. We should have to reassess. There should be like National Reassessment Day every year where you have to like write down
that, like, maybe we give people a questionnaire, a 10-point questionnaire. We're like, what do you think about climate change? What do you think about the national debt? What do you think about the Kardashians? What do you think about Nikoff.com? You know, that'll be on every single one. And people can write down their opinion, and then, you know, you put a cross from someone that is an expert on that opinion, and you just have to listen to them and then make a determination.
Yeah.
I think there should have to be something where we're at least open-minded about it, because you realize, you know, I hate modern music, but there are millions of people that love it.
Yeah.
And I don't understand it. That might be me getting a little old and turdly.
Yeah.
But it bothers me that I just don't even, like, associate it with music. And I'm sitting here going, what the hell is
but
this?
Flashback, Elvis was the devil.
Elvis
burned his records. All of our daughters are getting pregnant just from listening to Elvis.
Dude, there is a great picture. When I did Harvey's Casino up in Lake Tahoe, there's an improv up there.
How do you remember all this stuff?
There is, well, it's like a rock and roll casino.
A woman in Spokane, Washington. Like,
dude, well, this is my life.
I would be like, I did a show and this lady.
So there's a picture of him, like, on stage in his heyday. Like, it's a young Elvis Presley. I'm trying to find the picture right now where they have it, but maybe it was in Tahoe. Do you think it was in Tahoe? I can't find it, but there's a picture of him in his heyday, like, young, you know, Elvis. He's up there, he's doing the hip thrusting, and just you can probably see, you know, 500, 1,000 girls just going nuts, just crying, reaching out for him, like, applauding, cheering, and then there's one lady, just arms crossed, glasses, just furrowed brow, just not. And I remember I was there with what was that comic's name, Tom Rhodes. I was there with Tom Rhodes, and he goes, this is my favorite picture because he's killing it up here, but this bitch ain't buying it. He's like everybody else is dying, this is the greatest thing they've ever seen. There's one person just nope, not having it, and that person is me with modern music. I'm like, what the hell is this? But there's something there I'm not understanding. So I just have to keep an open mind. How do I do that? As a musician, as someone that, you know,
is... All right. So you went to plenty of Curious Primate shows.
Sure.
Right? Like, there are plenty of shows where it was like our girlfriends and the other bands.
And one guy shaking your hand.
And that's it in the audience, right?
Yeah.
Or, and we were kind of like experimental prog rock. We were not poppy. And there are many shows where the people that liked us were the other bands and the sound guy.
Right.
And everyone else was like, I'm not sure what we just saw. So we just had to get used to it and understand it. So, like, I would just say, come back to, don't think about what you feel from it, but if you can reflect what other people feel from it, right? So if you see all those people
other
enjoying
people are
the show,
enjoying it?
Like, I don't get it, but I see they get it and they enjoy it. Okay. I'm not saying it's right. I mean, there's plenty of stuff that people are like, Deb, I love you. Deb will put something on and I'm just like, what the heck is this? And she's just like, yeah, this is good. This is good. And then I flick it over to some funk or something and she's like, this is cool. And I'm just loving it. Right? It happens.
I keep seeing the picture of that guy with that rapper with a dollar sign on his face. He's got like red hair and he's always got a gun waving. Always got a gun. And I'm like, why is this guy always on my computer? Why is Yahoo News, TMZ, why are they all covering this guy? I just don't get it. Even if I saw his fans, I'd be like, I don't know why.
Yeah.
But I guess if I'm just seeing them and I'm understanding that
somebody's connecting. It's art, man. Get some.
That is not art. That is not, by the way, comedy's not art either. I hate these comedians that say, what we do is art. No, it isn't. At the very most, it's low art. It's low art, but we're up there just telling dick jokes. We're up there, like, squirting an opinion, and none of it... it's not art. Art is a picture.
Do you think art is supposed to be, like, making you think further and deeper and pushing boundaries?
No, I don't care about that.
Okay. So why can't yours be art?
Huh?
Why can't what you do be art?
It's just not a picture. Art is a painting or a drawing.
Your definition literally has to be inside the box.
Whatever I did in third grade. Inside the frame. In third grade, if I did it, that is art. That, and my
that
definition
macaroni?
Will not change.
Art.
That was art. That was the most art I've ever done in my life. When I made that clay face that my mom still has.
Yep. We
that
all made
was,
one of those.
That was art.
Dude, quick note, since you mentioned elementary school, I have to say this. I remember the talent show. I don't know what year it was, but maybe I was second grade, you were third. In the gym / cafeteria,
mm-hmm.
how they had the cool tables that came out of the walls.
Yeah.
We had the talent show, and you crushed it. Crushed it as Michael Jackson.
Oh,
and
yeah,
like, I didn't,
up.
I wasn't smart enough to realize it at the time, but like, everybody was like, what the hell? That was amazing. that was the start right there, ladies
that
and gentlemen.
That was the beginning. I could do the moonwalk. That was
white gloves, leather jacket.
I've never gone higher than that moment. That was the greatest achievement.
Watson Elementary. Wildcats.
Yeah. I was into Michael Jackson.
Did you realize that we were feline mascots our entire
went
public
from Watson
school.
Wildcat to the
Panthers.
But what would you call it? Hastings Junior High Panthers?
Yep. Middle school Panthers or whatever.
Middle school.
And then Tigers in high school.
Hastings Tigers. Oh, you know what I found out? Mr. Mays, the junior high English teacher who yeah. kicked me out of his class. I'm just realizing I had a lot of problem with English teachers. He just, everybody got in trouble. He's like, all right, that's it. Everybody's cut. This big dude. And granted, I'm, you know, 4'11 at this point. So maybe if I go back and look at all these people, I'll see them eye to eye. But big dude. Mr. Mays, big guy.
Yeah.
I think even still today. And he's just yelling, that's it. Everybody's coming in after class. We'll learn this after class. And he sits down and everybody's silent, dead silent. This guy terrified us for like 5 straight minutes. And then this gal stood up, just this kiss ass Kim Freed. I still remember she stood up with this curly blonde hair. She goes, Mr. Mays, on behalf of the class, I am sorry. And I just go, Kim! And I just laugh in her face so hard. It was such a hilarious, like the prim and properness of what she had just done made me laugh so hard. And he stood up and the earth was trembling and he was like, oh, go somewhere where they'll let you be. It's like, oh, God. I walked right outside and teachers were walking past like, what are you doing in the hallway? I was like, Mr. Mays told me to leave. And they're like, oh, I get it. But anyway, he just sent me a message saying that the high school tennis team that won state when I was a sophomore is being inducted into the HHS Hall of Fame, whatever the hell that means.
What?
So I got that going for me.
You have your photo up there with Tom Osborne.
Well, we already have the picture up.
It's going to be higher on the wall.
Were you aware there was a Hall of Fame?
No.
No. God, that's the dream, is to get higher than Tom Osborne.
No.
You're cute.
You're cute.
That guy...
You won't be higher than Tom Osborne.
That guy is old. It's time to get rid of him. All right. Well, we just lost all our Nebraska listeners, and that'll be it. Dude, I think we've made it. We've done an hour. Anything else that you want to plug? Plug something. Where can people find you? Where can they find your work? We're going to post those light pictures that you were talking about.
Yeah.
What?
Banana Man Films. I need to really updo my website.
Updo my website.
redo my website. But on Vimeo, Banana Man Films. Instagram, Banana Man Films. Just Banana Man Films. Just Google it.
And what's the one? If you're applying for a job, what's the one you
Vimeo,
send?
My Vimeo is
Vimeo.
Vimeo.com/ Banana Man Films.
Banana Man Films. Eric Smith, thank you for coming in. Oh, here's the last thing. And then I'll let you go. So I don't know if you're on Twitter or not.
No.
But you're on Facebook. You're on Instagram.
Yep.
Plane's going down.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to die.
Oh,
you've
it
has got...
to be on a plane, though?
I thought it could just be... Okay, you're like... on a surfboard.
Oh, I thought it could just be the last thing that's sent. You don't know what happened after you sent it.
Listen, okay, this is the deathbed tweet portion of the show where you're going to tell us what you would want your lasting... Your legacy, your digital legacy. What's the last thing that you leave humanity with? And you got to keep it to like a sentence.
Gone surfing.
Huh?
Gone surfing.
Gone surfing?
Yeah.
That's your last thing?
Yeah.
And that will be his last thing. He will die. And then when he's dying, his second to last thing before he publishes that tweet will be,
damn you, Nick Hoff!
Nick was right. Nick was right. Everyone listen to the Hoffcast. Do everything he says. The earth is flat. Thanks for coming on.